Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most procedurally generated podcast network.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up a Second. I'm Jackson Bailey.
I'm Cass.
I'm Zoe B.
And today's topic is noises. Were you making noises then, Cass?
Yeah. Well, do you not hear them?
Yeah, I couldn't for some reason. I could, and I don't know why I assumed that was neither of you. I heard that noise and was like, I don't know who's making that. Could it be my two good friends who just had, like, an excuse to make noises? That must be something else. Don't know what wires fucked up in my brain there.
Anyway, noises. On an unrelated note, Cass, why didn't you make a noise?
Yeah, so noises. The reason I brought this up is me and Cass, just before we started recording this, Zoe was smoking a cigarette, so she wasn't part of the conversation. But we were talking about when you drop a thing, the noise you make. Because Cass nearly dropped her bowl and made a noise like this.
I thought the glass bowl was going to go flying out of my hands and smash on the ground, so I went...
But it was somehow more high-pitched and it had like a lot of bleh. It felt like bleep. It rolled. So I want to know, do you have a specific noise that you make? Whether it's when you drop something or just like those secret noises that you make that are almost involuntary. A pretty disgusting example is that I think I make a terrible noise when I take a good piss. Like, if you were listening to the as I pissed, you would be like, oh my god, Jackson, don't...
Recreate it.
It's sort of like a... It's like... But it's way more sexual than I even made it sound then. I don't know!
Why?
It just... When
it's having
happens.
A good piss.
Yeah, it's a good... It feels good. So some part of me is like...
Your mouth.
The mouth bit of me. But that's like
Do you do this in public?
Well, no, not if I'm at a urinal. Like, some part of me is like, Jackson, please, the people around you will think you are coming. Don't make that noise. But if I'm sitting on the toilet at home, taking a piss, I'll do a little orgasm noise. Yeah. I'll make a little...
on the exact opposite end of the spectrum, if I'm having a flare-up, and sometimes I don't know I'm having a flare-up until I sit down on the on the toilet, and I feel my stomach, like, start cramping, there's just a, like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that's a bummer.
Because I know I'm in for a bad time. I know I'm in for one of the worst shits I've ever taken.
Yeah, that's a grim noise. It's a grim, involuntary
noise. I make dumb noises at my cats. I think that's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of like my go-to of just making like a Stringer has a specific noise we make at him.
Mm. Can we
which
hear
the whole family? Doo doo.
Oh, that's cute.
That
doo-doo.
Is good.
Doo-doo.
That's a great
doo-doo.
Noise.
And it just sounds like we're starting that beautiful Kanye West Jay-Z song Friends in Paris.
Yeah. That is a great noise though.
Doo-doo. Yeah, that's his noise. And so he kind of knows that's his noise. Toasty, we haven't specifically made a noise, but we do say we're like, who's the baby?
That's so
who's cute. The baby? She gets that.
How funny are the noises you make? Like, you've
just... Oh, at animals, they're insane.
With Whiskey, my parents' dog, we go, Whiskey! Whiskey! Like, why? Why did we pick such a weird cadence? Whiskey! And, like, what does that mean to Whiskey? He's just looking at us like... Yes.
Yes.
What? I don't make noises at animals.
What do you do? Oh, hey.
I do.
What's up, dude? That's great.
I think I've mentioned this on air. My last housemate had a dog, and sometimes my housemate would go, and it would be me and the dog alone, and I'd say, you know, she's never coming back, right?
Yeah, that's right. Fuck, that's good.
And the dog would look at me, and I'm like, yeah, she told me.
That's it, yeah.
It's the last time you're ever going to see her.
That's great.
Wild how she's never coming back. Anyway, you want to be... Are you leaving? Oh, you don't want to... I just talked to her like a person.
But that's great because, like, I know you're getting that, like, that incomprehending dog look back at you.
Yeah.
The dog's just so
like,
good.
What? What's happening? I don't know. I'm actually a dog right now, so like, I don't know what we're doing, but like,
I'm not in charge
you're
of
talking
any
to
of
me.
This.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We had Stringy checked the spiders in my room.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, you're cool. What are you doing?
That's great. Do you know? So do you know? No baby talk.
No
to any animal. That's crazy. That's what about to babies? You baby talk to babies?
No. I'm like, ball and fists, are we? Sick. I love balling my fist. Tight. That's good. Oh my god, how good does hand taste? I know, right? Man, you are so small.
That's funny because I think I do a baby talk to... I think I baby talk to animals, but I don't know if I baby talk to babies. I think I'm the same.
You baby talk to a baby. Everyone does.
I don't know if I...
Why?
I think I might occasionally, but I think I also do the like...
How often do you guys hang out with babies?
Occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally.
Yeah. You're known to see around. A baby.
Sometimes I will say, oh my god, look at you. How are you that big?
Nice hands. I think it might be like that. Oh, cool hands, man. So it's like a bit baby talk, but it's not quite
baby
talk.
Yeah, I think the most is like, oh my god,
you
do you know how small you are?
Where are you going?
Do you have any clue? Has anyone told you?
I keep threatening to send Toasty to jail.
That's funny. Yeah,
that's good.
Because she's so cute. I'm like, who let you? Who let you be so cute? You're going to jail. Yeah. You're going to jail because you've committed the crime of being fucking adorable. I was saying this to Cass the other week as well, that I think I fucked up my jaw because I've been clenching too much since we got Toasty.
Because it's too cute.
Because she's too cute. That's she's so little that I've every time I see her, I clench my jaw because I'm
hilarious.
So excited.
That's
and
hilarious.
She's, at the moment, I keep pulling her, like, because she's so much bigger than when we got. When we got her, she could fit in my, like, the palm of my hand. Like, I could just hold her, like, a bit of fruit.
That's
and
funny.
Now
like, throw her like a beanbag.
Yeah, just yeet her into the wall. But now she's cat-sized. Not as big as Stringer, but she's, like, regular cat-sized. But she's still little compared to Stringer. So I keep, like, grabbing her and being like, how are you so big but still so little?
That's great. Mm. That's so adorable.
And I'm clenching my jaw and just fucking up my teeth because there's too much cuteness
that's
in my house.
That's going to be such a funny thing to explain to the dentist. That rules.
Yeah, to
are
be
you
like,
stressed?
Hey,
oh my god, the exact opposite.
Yeah.
We have come horseshoe. It is right back where we started.
Can you help me with an ethical dilemma?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
So during lockdown, and also just regularly, me and my partner, who don't have a dog, we love to go down to the dog park near us and sort of vicariously live through other people's dogs, right?
Seems and, ethical.
And, yep. and at the, so far, it's okay. And we love, you know, we very much both of us love a French bulldog or a Boston Terrier or to a lesser degree a pug. Like, these are our favorite dogs. And so if we ever see one, it's, like, very exciting. But we like, you know, any dog, really. Now, obviously, the dog doesn't always want to come to you, right?
Mm-mm.
And we always feel pretty blessed when it does. But sometimes, if the dog is close, I will throw out quietly a... like a come over to me noise.
Yeah.
Now, do we think it's ethical for me to take that next step to... it's not like I'm saying the dog come to me. I'm specifically requesting the dog's presence so that I can play with it. What do we think? Like, because there's locking eyes with a dog, which I do all the time as well. Like, I'll lock eyes with a dog and try and just, like, will it just to be like,
yeah,
I want to play with you. And sometimes it backfires, specifically with sausage dogs for some reason.
They don't like direct eye contact.
And they'll be like, what? What? And then they'll start barking at me. And I'm like, oh, okay, my bad.
That guy's tummy is too far off the ground.
Why aren't you crawling? Yeah, but what do we think about a little...
I think it's okay. But only if the owners can't hear it.
Yes,
yeah, I was going to say, if you don't get caught...
Yeah.
If you do not get caught, no issue.
But we're agreeing then that ethically it's bad. Because we're saying if I'm caught, I will get in trouble and I shouldn't get caught. So we are agreeing that I shouldn't be doing it.
I think
it's a crime. It's
of...
just a crime we're okay with. That's all we're saying.
Yeah. 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 It's like pirating music.
Yeah.
If you call a dog and the dog comes over, sick. I know you personally... you're not going to do anything weird.
I'm not
going to
steal the dog.
If you are an owner and someone starts calling your dog over, that is cause for alarm. That's weird.
Fair, absolutely.
Someone else shouldn't call your dog over.
Especially
if they don't know
like
you, I do.
French bulldogs and Bostons, which are very expensive dogs and do get stolen all the time. So
thievable.
Yeah, they're thievable. The other day, this is a story, it's not really that crazy a story, but the other day I helped a lady, she lost her husky puppy. And I helped her chase it down and okay, so me and my partner were at the dog park, and we saw this husky puppy run into the one part of the dog park near us. And I'd seen earlier the lady with her two huskies, and she wasn't there. But the husky puppy was, and the husky puppy looked really lost, which was crazy, because, like, it's crazy to imagine a dog can look lost. But it was, like, looking around like a little kid and seemed nervous, yeah. And then it ran off up the road. And then my partner went home, because she wasn't feeling great, and I was like, well, I'm gonna just find that lady and make sure everything's okay. And she was like, yeah, I'm looking for my dog. And I'm like, oh, follow me. I just sort of go this way. So we went. It went up through a skate park near us. And then basically I didn't see if she got the husky puppy or not in the end. Because I went up there. I looked after the other dog that she still had with us. And then her husband came, put the other dog in the car and just drove off. And she'd left at that point. So I was just like, well, I don't know if she succeeded or not. But it's like a bad story to tell, because if I tell the story where I'm like, oh, I helped find a husky puppy, it's like, whoa, it's a fine story. And also paints me in a pretty good light. But unfortunately...
you tried to help find a husky
puppy. I don't know
puppy.
If... I can't honestly say that I helped a woman find her puppy, because I might have... If I say I was there for the first half of trying to find a husky puppy, and I don't know if she found it in the end either. It's just not as good a story. But no. Surely I would have seen, like, what missing dog posters if she hadn't found it, right?
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah.
Do you guys have stories... Here's a
Maybe.
Question for you. Yeah. Do you guys have stories about, like, a really good and noble thing you've done that you've never had the opportunity to bring up because you don't want to sound like you're bragging?
If it's that good, I intentionally don't bring it up because I don't want to seem like I'm bragging.
But don't you kind of always also, because you know...
But this is now the platform. Jackson is being like,
exactly,
here's the platform to tell your story. I weirdly had to bring mine up in a job interview recently.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were asking, you know, like a job interview, you've always got to kind of put your best foot forward no matter what they say.
Mm.
And mine's an exceptionally odd story from when I used to work back in the florist. And so, and just because I, like, was racking my brain before this interview trying to come up with examples of, like, being good at working retail.
Yeah.
And this was one of the stories I had, and I was able to bring it up during this job interview, but it's an insane, weird story. So, obviously, like, working in a florist is a really, like, you see people at a vulnerable state for some points of it.
Mm.
So, obviously, you're doing funeral arrangements and stuff like that. You tend to meet people when they're in vulnerable states. Valentine's Day is an exceptionally weird day to work because it's super fucking busy, but then, like, there'll be times where people come in and they'll buy flowers for their wife, their mistress, and their girlfriend. And you're like, I morally don't feel great about being here, but there's nothing I can personally do. And so I had this gentleman come in, like, a day or two before Valentine's Day, and he asked to get a box of rose petal flowers, which was something that we sold, you know, the beautiful...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cascading.
The vibe.
Fancy. And he had his daughter there as well. And so his daughter was mentally disabled. I don't quite know how. She was, you know, under 10.
Yeah.
And just, like, the sweetest little girl you'd ever met. And I was just super happy to be, like, helping her out. And he's like, yeah, we're getting flowers for her mom. I was like, fantastic, let's get you some really nice little flowers. And I was like, let's get you some flowers for your mom. And then the dad, in an insane moment, lays this one on me with, yeah, she left us.
Oh. Wow.
And I was just like, ha. Huh.
Wow, all right, fuck. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. And I'm also a teenager as well. Like, I'm not beautiful, wise owl that I am now. I was shit teenager, wanted to drink all the time.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, yeah, my wife left me and my daughter. She's gone, and I'm trying to convince her to come back.
Oh.
And I'm like, ugh, fuck.
Damn.
And then there's that other layer of also having the mentally disabled daughter where you're like, I want her mum to come home, but I don't know what the husband did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. And so I ended up like helping him and like getting, we organized a really big bouquet and we went like above, I went above and beyond for this client and was just like, we will get you sorted, man. We will bring your wife home because we are heroes here. Like it was the most surreal fucking experience I think I ever, and I was just like, working there was such a fucking trip because you expect it to be so nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you expect, you're like, it's a florist. How fucking bad can it be? And then, like, I remember once a girl comes in after Valentine's Day and she didn't speak to me. She spoke to one of my coworkers and was like, do you guys have security cameras? We're like, no, man, this is a florist. People ain't.
Yeah, we're not.
Wait, there's security cameras here. And she was like, oh, do you guys keep the receipts for orders? And we were like, well, yeah, because obviously if they've been delivered out, we needed information. And she had a stalker.
Oh, God.
Who was sending her anonymous flowers, and she had no idea who it was, and she was really freaked out. And they, through us, had delivered, like, we had delivered this woman flowers from this man, and he'd, like, given a false name and a false number and shit like that to us so that he couldn't be tracked back. It was fucking creepy. The weird fucking world.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
What the hell? Did it feel a bit good telling the story, though, about getting that man his flowers?
Like, yeah, I was like, I'm a hero.
Yeah,
like, I saved this guy's marriage.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I'm glad that I could provide you a platform to tell that story.
Yeah, thank you. You know what I mean? It's so weird telling that story in a job interview and being like, and then I was a hero. Because I, like, you leave out certain details, but I was like, yeah, once a customer very, like, candidly revealed that his wife had left him and I was trying to help him win his wife back.
Yeah.
And I did because I'm a fantastic employee.
It's a great story. It definitely paints you in a very good light. I think we should all, as a society, have just like a holiday where we get together and we're like, this is a great thing I did that I can't brag about and I can never bring up, because if the moment I bring it up in a position where there's not been a platform for me to bring it up, I've negated any good I've done with it. That's the trick. You know what I mean?
It's a purge, but for bragging.
Yeah, exactly.
The brag.
Yeah. We have a brag purge where everybody, you just get together and you're like, here's a noble thing I did at some point in my life. Here's the thing where I was unequivocally a good person that I've not been able to bring up at any point because I want to keep that good person point just sitting. I've only got one, but I want to keep it there.
Because if I use it for a story, then I'm no longer a good person.
Exactly.
It's like those people who film themselves giving out money to the homeless.
Yeah, you can't do it.
It gets the purpose.
It's so yucky.
You've just got to keep, like, that good thing you did there. And anyone who was there when it happened, they know. But that's it. That's all you can do.
And they can tell the story.
And
yes.
It's good. Like, you want to be there for your friend's hero moment so you can be like, you would not believe what Jackson did on the weekend.
Exactly.
You'd think he's a piece of shit, but...
No, you think Jackson is dirt, piss, ball sack, shit, scum of the earth.
No, I know. I know. And, you know, I thought that too. And part of me still believes that. But I did I did have some evidence to the contrary. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, I wouldn't say what he did negates that feeling about him. I think we can all still agree that he's scum of the earth. But here's one good thing he did once, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
And he's very proud of it.
Yeah, and actually, to be honest, he wishes he was telling this story. So in a way, even this good thing is negated by that. But, well, I'm glad about the dog park thing as well. I'm going to keep calling other people's dogs.
Yeah, I think if you do it in secret, you're fine.
Yeah, okay, no what about knows.
We take it up a level. What if I bring a little salami? Just a little salami in my pocket.
I think that's weird. I think that's less weird than a...
Why is that less weird? It's easier to explain.
I have some
salami.
No,
it's park salami, sir.
Yeah, it's park salami. For me. You're on a picnic.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're not feeding the dogs?
No, I just have it in my pocket. Well, if the dog comes over, I'll feed the dog.
I think it's, like, a bit rude to feed someone else's dog.
Okay, well, what about if I just have it in my pocket? My pocket.
That's like up in your pocket, you say.
It's up in my pocket. No, what if it's in my pocket? It's like a lure for the dog. Because the dog smells the salami, comes over.
Legal move, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's okay? Okay, yeah. What if it's dog food in my pocket?
A bit weirder.
Weird. Dog food in my pocket.
Wet dog food loose in your pocket.
If someone finds out, there's no recovering from that.
Yeah, and I think your partner. Yeah, I think your partner would be mad because then you'd come back to your house having a pocket full of wet dog food, and that stinks.
Is that wet dog food in your pocket, Jackson? Yeah, it is.
And you've got to clean that in our washing machine.
No, I'll just squeeze it out in the sink.
Our sink for the kitchen that we used to cook.
And now a quick word from our sponsors.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, is your Dungeons & Dragons game boring because you aren't using a wild magic table designed by Sans Pants Radio's very own Adam Carnevale with help from the rest of the D&D crew? Well, do I have the answer to your very specific problem? Your wild sorcerer will cause absolute abject chaos as their spells cause the lower half of themselves to become that of a chicken's or their target to get really into birds. There are tons and tons of entries, so you'll probably never encounter the same effect twice. It's the gift that keeps on giving you a headache. Head to sanspantsradio.com/shop and look for our dumb wild magic table today.
What about schmackos? Do you reckon it's not wet dog food?
I think if you brought dog treats to a dog park, it's not the oddest thing in the world.
But I don't have a dog there. Do I have to pretend I have a dog?
Yes.
I don't know dog lore. Okay. I'm a cat person.
I think it's weird if you bring dog treats to a dog park with no dog.
What if I bring dog treats to a dog park, but I don't intend on feeding anyone else's dog? And if somebody's like, why do you have dog treats? I'm like, they're for me. And I reluctantly, unhappily eat the schmacko myself.
Nom.
It tastes like
chivalrous. I think if a cute little dog comes over to you, and you're in a dog park, mm-hmm. and you say to the owners, can I give them a treat?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. But I think feeding someone's dog out of the blue, not polite.
But is it
some
weird?
Some people are weird with what their dogs eat.
Yeah.
Some dogs have allergies.
That's true. Stringer can't eat a certain brand of food, and I would get mad if someone did, because then I'm cleaning up diarrhea.
Yeah, that's fair. What if...
So maybe I'm on Cass's side. I've changed my position.
What if, it's a treat that you know your pet can have, but you can clock that I don't have a dog? I'm like, oh, can I give your dog a treat? And you're like, oh, it's a schmacko, my dog can eat schmackos. But you're like, where's his dog?
This is where you lie. You're like, my dog recently passed away and I like going to the dog park to remind myself of good dogs.
I was going to say, if you showed up to a dog park, asked to feed dogs and you clearly had no dog, I'd be like, there's a story here, mm-hmm. or you're like weird, but the kind weird.
Yeah, yeah. Which I am. I think that's accurate. Yeah.
You're a kindo.
Yeah, I'm a kindo. Which is good. It's your lie, Zoe, about having a dead dog was much cleverer than my lie where I was just gonna vaguely gesture to the other dogs in the park and be like, that's my dog. Right out there, yeah.
You fool, man. You gotta go for a sob story and be like, oh yeah, my dog recently passed away. I like to come down to the dog park and see the other dogs because I miss my dog, but I'm not quite ready to get a new dog.
Do you know what? Your dog's just died. It would be too sad to throw all of its treats out, so you'd rather feed other dogs because it's less sad.
How long can I pull that off for?
Yeah, this is a short term.
That one is quite short term, but you will never get a question about it.
Oh, that's very true. Except if you go
to different dog parks.
No. If you go to a dog park, use your dead dog story, I don't want to throw the treats away, that would be sad, I want to feed other dogs, make them happy, my dog made me happy.
Yeah.
If you do that for a week or two, because I reckon it's reasonable that you'd have a couple of weeks of dog treats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you become friends with the regulars. And then you're like, you know what? I really like this because if you're already friends with them, they're comfortable to have you around their dog. That's they're comfortable true. For you to feed the dog. You can just keep doing that.
Yeah, and especially
maybe
if
this is your ultimate in.
Maybe then, yeah, because if I built up a reputation, then I buy more dog treats and I'm like, I know that I don't have a dog, but I'm buying them for your dogs because this is a thing I like to do now.
I think
that's my in. And I already have made kind of friends with a dog at the dog park. Not the owner, but the dog. There's a really fat Labrador that will occasionally, if it's at the dog park, come up, briefly sit with me and my partner. It doesn't really, like, hang out with us. It just comes and sits with us and, like, looks at us. And then it goes off and does its own thing. And then it comes back and sits for a little bit. So I am starting. I'm making those headways into getting an inn in the dog park and becoming a regular.
Then you've just got to talk to the people.
Yeah.
You've bonded also, with the dogs?
I think I can do that thing where I'm like, your dog loves me. That's crazy. I got that inn with the owner now. Why does the dog love
and
me?
And if you give it a little fun little name, like a nickname, and be like, that's true. I call him Jeremy.
No, I think that's weird.
No.
I also think it's weird for Jackson to be like, what? Your dog loves me. What?
Yeah, I think that's the weird part.
Your dog loves me and I've named it Jeremy. Your dog Jeremy loves me.
No, I think if you strike up a conversation with the owners of this fat lab and are like, oh, every time we're here we see him, we didn't know what his name was, but he always came up and wanted a bit of attention, so we just started calling him Jeremy, like, they'll have a bit of a giggle, because I know that Stringer goes on a wander, and I've mentioned on the pod before, like, he's got an enemy slash best friend.
Oh, yeah.
That we used to call the bad cat, until we found out that the cat's name is Mayhem.
Which is a great fucking name for a cat.
The owners are across the street, and we ended up having a conversation. We were like, yeah, we call your cat the bad cat.
Yeah.
Because he makes Stringer want to go out and fight. And they were like, that's funny. We call your cat the red cat.
That's great.
So you've got to almost give it like a generic name to be like, yeah, we call him Little Labby or whatever.
We call him the Fat Lab.
Yeah, we call him the Fat Lab.
You do call him the Fat Lab.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they'll be like, oh, his name's actually Jeremy. And you'd be like, oh, it's good to know that his name's Jeremy. I'll start calling him Jeremy.
Yeah. There was briefly a moment where a woman kept coming to the dog park with a tiny, we think it was a retro pug called Rocket.
What's a retro pug?
It's like when they fix a pug to make it less fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
They go backwards in it, so it doesn't.
It's still pretty fucked up, but
it's not
less
great.
Less so. I know it's bad that the kinds of dogs I love are the kinds of dogs that humanity has decided.
But that's why you love them.
But yeah,
I mean, they've been engineered to be cute, Jackson.
Exactly.
I think this is the industry's fault.
They're like
making
that.
You want it.
You know those dogs that we as a society have fucked up, but they've got faces like shovels.
Shovel dog.
And we were like the handsomest version of this dog, and it genuinely looks like a sideshow attraction.
It's a horrible dog.
It's a horrible dog. And if you've seen the organic version of that dog, I don't quite know what the language is here.
Organic,
beautiful, handsome dog. You know, and then we fucked it, and we're like, what was that for? Because that's not to be cute. That thing's fucking heinous.
I don't, I love, me and my partner watched this documentary about like how dogs came to be or whatever. And it's never good. Like the French bulldog, which we love, started off as the bulldog. And the bulldog was designed to upset bulls so that when we killed them, their meat was better. Because we had this crazy idea that the more stressed the bull was, the tastier its meat was. And then bull baiting,
which we found the opposite.
Yeah, this is just not true. Everybody for fucking centuries was eating dog shit like beef. Because also, I don't think we eat bulls. I think that's, anyway. And then they banned bull baiting. And so they were like, "What? We don't know what we're going to do with all these bulldogs that we used to use." So they started getting bred as like family dogs. And then all of the shit ones of the bulldog were shipped to France. And France bred them into the French bulldog. So the French bulldog's history starts bad and gets worse, basically. It's just, it's never good. But yeah, so we really fucked
I'm
over
sorry,
dogs.
Dogs.
Yeah, sorry about that, dogs.
Sorry.
That's on us.
I don't know if, is there a cat version of that? Do we,
great
I don't
question.
Think we really do that, because I'm thinking
all purebred cats have issues.
They have issues, but, like, is that just from inbreeding and not from, us trying to purposely trying to create the cutest cat ever?
Hmm.
What about flat-faced cats? Surely they are...
Because you've got the cats with the little smushy face.
Yeah.
Like, a British Shorthair has a smushed-in face. Did we make those? I guess
surely.
The British must have.
We must have, yeah. Surely we did that. Yeah, they've got eye inflammation, breathing difficulties, skin infections, and trouble eating.
Yeah, good. As long as we're being equal about it.
Oh, yeah,
know?
Absolutely. Well, I think it's fucked up we didn't do it for more animals we domesticated. Imagine a flat-faced horse. That would be cool.
Gross.
Yeah, we... What? I don't think humanity...
All teeth.
Oh, that's bad.
I think all the time, Jackson, about... You told me years ago, you were like, what if we domesticated Australian animals so that all the domestic animals we had were native?
That would be so cool.
Imagine a little possum or a big bilby.
Yeah.
Like, I what would we have done? Because yeah, it wouldn't have been good.
No. Like, it would have been better for our environment, I guess, ultimately. But they would have still been monsters. Guaranteed. I remember reading an article, and maybe this is what kicked off the conversation so many years ago, where they were like, we could... theoretically breed quokkas into a domesticated species. We're like, for some reason or something, quokkas have the potential to be domesticated.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was true.
Oh my god, if we domesticate quokkas, like, that'd be a pretty penny, but they would be worth
like, how could you be sad if your pet smiled at you all day?
Yeah, exactly. I think,
because it's so blessed when you get, like, your regular boring domesticated pet to smile at you. Like, if Stringer gets his head at a funny angle and his lips fall into a smile, I can ride off that for years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Imagine coming home and just having a little quokka scurry up, look up to you and give you a smile. You'd be like, oh my god.
You'd be so happy.
And then you'd know some fucking heinous family would just have, like, a bunch of, like, Tassie devils.
Yeah. It's bad though to imagine, you know, like people who like, it's my fur bait. Like, imagine somebody dressing a quokka up in like,
oh, you dress it up as little Victorian times. Put it in a bonnet.
I imagined it in like, just because the way their bodies are proportioned, giving them a tiny tank top and nothing else.
That rule.
Daffy Duck.
Yeah, Daffy
Donald
Duck. Daffy Duck's just nude, dude.
Yeah, Daffy Duck's naked.
He's got, like, the priest's collar, but otherwise.
No, I meant Donald Duck.
Yeah, the one with a rich uncle.
Are all the animals in Looney Tunes naked? Do any of them wear clothes? Bugs Bunny's nude.
Lola Bunny wears clothes.
That's true. Lola Bunny has chain.
She's too horny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were so horny.
Tassie Devil, naked.
Naked. Tweety Bird's naked. So I think they're just animals.
Foghorn Leghorn naked.
Foghorn Leghorn naked. Is the only clothed Looney Tune then Lola Bunny? That's so weird.
I guess so.
Wow.
No.
The Martian's wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
But he's not an animal.
Yosemite Sam's got pants on.
Not an animal.
Yeah.
Elmer Fudd, but again, not an animal.
Not an animal.
That's a man.
Porky Pig. Porky Pig's got a jacket on. That's good. Thank God. At least one of them's clothed, you know?
Yeah, that would have been heinous otherwise.
It would have been too much. And Speedy Gonzales, also clothed. And he's a mouse. So
he got a little hat.
Yeah, not all of them. Not all of them are nude. Just most of them.
Jack, do you want to see the cool thing that I bought? I already showed Cass, but it's right here.
I'd love to.
I'm sure the listeners would also.
It's a great little cowboy hat. Oh my god!
A tiny cowboy hat.
Tiny cowboy hat.
Is
and
that
for so Stringer?
Who could that be for?
Yeah, who's
for Stringer? To wear on his photo shoot that he won because he's a handsome boy.
That is the best thing in the world. That
means
you
I
won.
Can put it on the top of my bun.
So for the that rules.
Cowboy hat.
So for those who don't know, Zoe, could you explain this photo shoot that Stringer
has
won?
So the agency that I got Stringer from is like a cat rescue place called the Victorian Cat Protection Society. And they every year do a calendar to raise money for themselves. And they pick the 13 most handsome and beautiful cats from the adopted out thing that have been adopted from the shelter.
Yeah.
That's like a specific thing. They have to be adopted from the shelter. And you can enter your cat, and if they win, they get their photo professionally taken.
Yes.
And put in this calendar.
God, it's
and
brilliant.
And Stringer not only was in the top 13, he was the flat out winner.
It pleases me so much. That and I think it's very Sans Pants, and it makes me happy to imagine all of these people who are just like, well, I don't know, I'll maybe enter my cat in this competition. This sounds like a laugh, and then you steamroll in with our thousands of fans, absolutely,
and hassling all of them, being like, vote for my cat.
We
vote
rocket to the top of the leaderboards. There's no way Stringer couldn't win. It's so good. I cannot wait to see that little photo shoot.
It's going to be so good, and everyone's getting a calendar.
Oh, I am like, very excited for my calendar.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting one, and I'm just ripping out any page that isn't Stringers.
Yeah, I want it's effectively like a glorified photograph of Stringer Bell. That's what we're getting.
It's professional.
With numbers on the back of him.
Yeah, exactly, and more wasted paper.
Do you get to pick which month it is?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope any month it is, it's very exciting because I get to be like, Mr. July.
Oh, yeah, true.
Your cat Mr. whatever the month is.
Oh, that's so good.
I know that's going to be big for you.
It's going to be like an entire thing where I'm like, oh, here we are, Mr. September. He better be, first half of the year.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
It'd be annoying.
I think you'll get to pick. I would hope with the amount of...
I mean, you're the winner.
You're the winner.
That's true.
Treated like royalty, you and Stringer.
We weren't in as much of a lead as I thought we were.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, because we skyrocketed quite early. Yeah. And he got 296 votes.
Nice.
Solid amount of votes. Yeah. And thank you to the Sans Pants fans, because I only know like 10 people. Yeah. So we skyrocketed at the start, and then today we got the results, like, they sent an email of, like, the top 13 that made the calendar, and, like, the numbers. And then the second one was, like, 250.
Oh, wow.
And we were like, wow, if we had actually paid attention.
Yeah.
Would have been stressful.
We would have been stressed, but we uploaded a photo the first week, made everyone vote, and then forget about it.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't try and keep up. We were just like...
I was going to. I was going to, like, do a second push, and then I went to go be like, I wonder when this ends, and it had ended. And I was like, well, all right.
Too bad. Well, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Stringer won. It makes me very happy.
Oh, man. He's a famous little boy who deserves all the attention in the world.
I was going to say, no one deserves it more.
Exactly.
No one deserves it more. Like, I just think he's so precious and so stupid. He got out last night. This little fucker. So, because yesterday was, like, the first warm day post-winter. And he was a scallywag trying to get in. He kept playing funny buggers where he would come up to the back door and we'd be like, Stringer, come in the house. And he'd be like, no, I'm off to adventure more.
Classic.
Yeah.
And then I just was like, whatever, he'll fucking come in when he comes in.
Yeah.
And then my mum went out and got him and she managed to trick him into coming into one of the studios and locked him in and was able to catch him and he was very grumpy.
Yeah.
And she got him into the house and she was like, that fucking idiot always falls for when I walk into a room. And so she chucked him in, like, in the house, and he was fine for about half an hour until my dad went out to go get something, and Stringer sprinted out the door that was open, like, just my dad's body width, and, like, ran in between his legs, and you just heard my dad kind of, like, stumble and just be like, fuck, sorry, Stringer got out. And so then I tried to, like, catch him, but he, like, ran up, it was, like, dark at this point, and he, like, ran up into the darkness, and I was like, well, I got fucking nothing. Yeah, I was like, whatever. He'll come back when he wants to come back. Yeah. And last night was exceptionally windy, like warning level windy.
Yeah.
And so I stuck my head out. Whenever I had a smoke, I would like be like, Stringer, doo-doo, come here. And he didn't until like I think the second or third time where it was like super brutally windy and it was fucking heinous to be out there. And I just was like, Stringer. And then, like, from nowhere, just the darkness, he comes sprinting top speed down to the back of the house and was just like, ah, help! It's bad out here!
That's cute.
Needed him inside.
For some reason, the fact that you said funny buggers and not silly buggers has really thrown me. It's always been silly buggers for me.
Yeah, funny buggers is weird. Yeah.
We say funny buggers!
The whole story, like, I was listening, but the whole story I was like, funny buggers.
Why not silly buggers? That's what you play.
You just always said funny buggers.
You play silly buggers.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry.
Who knows? Maybe you do play funny buggers.
Maybe I always thought it was funny buggers.
I mean,
it's the same.
It's pretty interchangeable. Yeah. We understood what you meant. I've just never
heard funny buggers before in my life. Listeners, if you... I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Do you say funny buggers or silly buggers?
And I'm like, is my, like, just, like, WOG family was, like, close enough.
Yeah, funny, silly,
Stupid silly
buggers,
Sam.
Dumb buggers.
Tweet everyone's buggering. Yeah. Tweet everyone us should in. Address that issue.
Yeah. Let us know. Let us know, listeners. Yeah.
At douche 13. Yeah, at douche 13. Let us know if you're team funny buggers or team silly buggers.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Kaz.
And I've been Zoe B.
Are you team funny buggers or silly buggers? Let us know. Goodbye.
Funny buggers.
Hey, dickhead, do you want more Sans Pants in your life? Well, good news. There are currently 26 Sans Pants Radio podcasts available right now, free to the public. And if you want to splash a bit of coin, we have a further 20 bonus shows and bonus fees for you to sink your ears into. That's 46 shows! Head to SansPantsRadio.com to check them out now. That's SansPantsRadio.com.